Welcome to Country Word Radio Broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Judges, and we're in chapter 4. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
You might say she nailed it, right? And the Bible says that she thrust that nail through and fastened it to the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, and so he died. Now, what you don't get here is in the song, and I'll tell you, the Bible says in verse 22, "And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera." Remember a minute ago, we saw it up here a little bit. The Bible says in verse 16, Barak pursued after the chariots. Barak's doing his job, man. He's in his element. He's doing battle. He went after the chariots. He went after, now, Sisera. The Bible says he pursued Sisera, and Jael came out to meet him and said, "Come, I will show thee the man whom thou seekest." And he came into her tent, and behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples again. So God subdued, and that's the other word to circle in the cycle, because once he is called upon, he answers, and he answers by fire, and he delivers them, listen, not from physical infirmity, but from spiritual oppression that comes as a result of our sin. You want to talk about a delivering God? I'd much rather be saved from sin than from sickness. And this is why the Bible says by his stripes we're healed. We're not healed from all infirmity. Everybody gets sick. It's not a sign of you've done something evil. It could be, but it's typically not. Everybody's going to get sick. Everybody who's ever preached, you're going to get every disease healed because you're a Christian. If you're walking with God and you're a good, obedient Christian, they died somewhere, or they will. Okay? We're all going to die of something. Jesus heals me from my sin problem. Okay? The Bible says that he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. And even the chastisement for my peace was upon him. That means even the little things I'm doing ignorantly, I still get to go through my day without being caught up short thinking, "Oh man, what did I do? I don't have to do that. The Bible says that if I'm walking in fellowship with him, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses me from all sin. It's happening chronically. So God heals all my diseases that are most pressing, and that's my sin problem. He takes care of that. And the Bible says he subdued on that day Jabin. Now notice it doesn't say Sisera. Do you understand that it's King Jabin? Jabin's probably like Pharaoh or Caesar. It's a title. It's a name that was taken by a king of that area. So we have Jabin was subdued. Why? Because Sisera was his champion. And when Sisera fell, Jabin fell. Now let me tell you something, an application you can take for your learning to fight. The devil is your problem. But he's not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. And he's not omnipresent. He works through his principalities and his power, through networks. So he sends some little underling to harass you or harass me. And the more you're out of your harmless stage and you're getting out there trying to share something with somebody about Jesus, you're going to get harassed more for standing up than for, you know, just kind of eating your milk and cookies and going through your day and going to bed at night. You know, you're not doing anything. You're harmlessly passing your time. He's not going to waste any good men on that. But his demons will come against you when you try to do something for God. You try to walk away from something that is binding your life and maybe tethering you into some calamity and some discomfiture. There you are, man. But there's victory for you. The Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The beginning of your moment when you start taking that seriously, you may find different things happen. Mark and I were witnessing to a guy years ago. It's just such a classic view of how things happen. We were almost ready to win him to Christ. He was ready to trust Jesus to be saved. And the doorbell rang, the phone rang, and the dog went nuts. All at the same exact time, it was like everything broke loose because the devil, it was like he was just screaming, "No!" And that fellow did get saved at length, but it was a real distraction because the devil can't touch us, listen, unless we let him. The Bible says the whole world is in the lap of the wicked one. Now, when we look at this, I want you to see something about how this unfolds that I think is a very cool reality. Go over to chapter 5 real quick. The Bible says that when Barak went out, many of the children of Israel didn't go. Look at verse 16 of chapter 5. The Bible says, "Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds, Reuben? Verse 17, Gilead abode beyond the Jordan. And Dan, why did Dan remain in the ships? Verse 17, this is their song. There's a humiliation for staying out of the battle. Listen, there's a humiliation associated with not enjoining the battle. Is there a battle today? Yes. The Bible says, though, Naphtali and Zebulun came up in verse 18, and they were a people that jeoparded their lives. Verse 20, the Bible says, they fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera, and the Kishon River swept them away. And the Bible tells us beyond that, curse ye, Meraz, verse 23, said the angel of the Lord, curse ye bitterly, the inhabitants thereof. It's a city, not a person. Because they came not to help the Lord, to help the Lord against the mighty. Underline those words, to help the Lord. You know, there are people who believe that God has elected people so they don't really have to do much. Now, I'm not saying the theologians who proffer that, but I'm saying the people in the pews who hear that can just easily, you know, deduce that if he elected some to be saved and some not, then there's not going to be any difference in what I do in the grand scheme of things. That is a nonsensical, and I believe a very fallacious doctrine. The Bible says, you didn't come out to help the Lord. The Bible says of Jesus speaking, he says, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Remember that? There you are. You are called, you are sent, and we are called to be epistles seen and read of men, ambassadors, and we're supposed to be those who care for the souls of others. The Bible says in verse 20, blessed above women shall Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. Now, I like that. She's doing exactly what she needs to do. She's taking care of the home, but as soon as some wolf came to the door or some bear came prowling at the door, she handled it. You guys know what that time-lapse photography is, right? You ever seen that where they've got like a stage going up and it's like every minute or something people are moving, it's a quick movement. Well, I think that's the way this song puts it. Watch what happens, how he characterizes what's happening. The Bible says in verse 20, and now imagine the case without any words. You're just looking at snapshots. Look how this unfolds. Blessed is she above women. Verse 20, he asked water, she gave him milk. See that picture? She asked water, she gave him milk. See the next picture. She brought butter in a lordly dish. I mean, if I'm watching this through a closed circuit TV, this looks pretty innocuous. She's bringing butter. And the Bible says, she put in her hand a nail. I wonder what she's going to do with that. She gave him milk. She gave butter. The Bible says she took a hammer. And she smote him. And she smote off his head. When she had pierced and stricken through his temples. Verse 20 says, at her feet he bowed down. Remember that picture? He was bowing down. Now, guys, that would have looked pretty good on a picture. She gave him butter, she gave him milk, she gave him a coat, she warmed him, he's bowing down. You're not hearing anything. You're just, the song makes it almost like, oh, he bowed down. Wait a minute, he fell down. Wait a minute. No, he laid down. when he bowed there, he fell down dead. It's like, boom, 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 boom. And you're like, just go work with that sometime. Just work through that and think about the time lapse that this would have looked like on the floor. He literally got down on his knees in front of her. He literally laid down his head for her. He literally let her take a nail, according to the photo, and he literally watched her put it up. It could be postulated. It's a beautiful picture of what God does. Do you know when we get home, all the little inside stuff, the little nonsensical drama, that's not going to matter. But what's really going to matter is how you frame your plan. Remember, Ehud had a plan. He was left-handed, put the dagger on his right thigh. He came in. He said, I got a secret. He kills Eglon. You and I are asked to do what we're asked to do. If something comes your way, you do something about it. You make a plan if something's not moving. You know? You ever go fishing? What do when you go fishing? You go fishing and you say, listen, there's nothing biting here. You get up, you go somewhere else. God wants us to be fishers of men. Follow me and you shall be fishers of men. Now the Bible says in verse 31 of chapter 5, it says, let all thine enemies perish, O Lord. But let them that love him be as the sun when he goeth forth in his might. You know what that means? You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And the land had rest for 40 years. Isn't that good? Now, I find it fascinating to consider here at the end of chapter 4, just go back over there and look at it. The Bible says in verse 23, God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel. And the hand of the children of Israel prospered and prevailed against Jabin, the king of Canaan, until they had destroyed Jabin, the king of Canaan. You know, when Jesus died, the Bible says that the Son was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. He did that. The Bible says in the Proto-Evangelium in Genesis chapter 3 that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. He did that. Crushed his heel. Devil crushed Jesus' heel at the cross. But Jesus crushed his head by dying and rising again. Now, I want you to know, when it talks about prospering and it talks about these people were prevailing in the way that they go, you want to know sometimes why we're not victorious in our Christian life? Many times it's because we don't understand the way this battle works. I want you to know that the Bible says in Psalm 16 and verse 11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." Are you looking? Thou wilt show me the path of life. If you're looking, you'll find it. This is Psalm 16 before Jesus ever came. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Young people have a hard time understanding what Christianity's really worth because we're not living with fullness of joy. We're not enjoying God. We have to be the people who are following Him, watching His path, and joining Him in whatever battle begins to happen around us. Be soul winners. Be sharp enough to try to figure out a way to build bridges to the lost. And we have to be people who recognize that when we do that, listen, there's joy. There's joy. And that kind of joy that comes from that kind of interaction with God now will give way to everlasting joy. The Bible says in that day, everlasting joy shall be upon their brow. That's a good day. No sickness, no sorrow, no sin, no parting. Man, no tears. The only way we can express how good heaven's going to be is by saying, what's not going to be there? Everlasting joy. No admixture of sorrow. You can't have that down here, but you can taste it by following Jesus. Let's suit up. Let's do what we can do for Jesus. Let's not drink the Kool-Aid of being commonplace. This teen girl, she brought her boyfriend home to meet her parents. As she brought her boyfriend in, everybody was kind of on their best behavior thinking, well, this is a big deal. It's the first time she's ever brought a boy home, so she brought her boyfriend home. When he walks in, he's got a nose ring, tattoos, he's got a mohawk, he's got a headband, he's got a dark jacket and motorcycle boots, and these good people are looking at this situation thinking, oh my goodness. So they pull their daughter away and say, honey, he doesn't seem very nice. And the daughter said, well, of course he's nice. Why else would he be doing 500 days of community service? That's kind of like us, isn't it? We think that just going to church and, you know, giving a little something in the offering plate, and maybe even reading our Bible and praying once in a while is it. It's not it. God didn't call you to just be somebody who's taking in and believing every wind of doctrine being cast to and fro. He wants you to grow up into the new man. He wants you to be a warrior. He wants you to be a warrior whether you're a man or a woman. He wants you to take what's before you and give them Jesus. Because listen, people are perishing for lack of knowledge. We have to demonstrate it, and then we have to proclaim it. And when that happens, joy will be ours. Would you bow with me for a moment? Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts, and I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.